Hello, everyone. I'm Scott Jordan, and this is Inside Monster Jam. Today, I am joined in studio by Weston Anderson and Kristen Anderson. First of all, welcome to the Monster Jam Summit, and thanks for joining me on Inside Monster Jam.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Do you want to say anything there?
Glad to be here. Glad to be doing another interview with you.
Another one. Just another one. Well, listen, I had both of you on the weekly update. Yeah. I had Ryan on the weekly update. All three of you go on to win series championships. Adam ghosted me on the weekly update. Adam did not win a series championship. I'm just saying there might be a little magic there to, you know, doing
bad
the show.
Bad juju. You have to talk
you gotta talk to me.
You
got
to talk to
me. So a great year for both of you. Both win series championships. Let's first talk about where it all started with you. You know, you grew up watching, you know, your dad form this gravedigger phenomenon that has just taken over the world and still after 40 years is everywhere. You watch your brothers, Adam and Ryan, go on to have massive success. So, Kristen, let's start with you. When did you know that you wanted to follow in your dad's footsteps and your brothers as well?
Well, I didn't ever really know that I wanted to necessarily drive the trucks just because, you know, like I've said before, I'm dad's only girl and he's always had Adam, Ryan, and Weston that he can kind of pass the torch on to. So I was going to be the one that kind of dug my heels in about it. And I wanted to go off and go to college, do the graphic design thing like I've talked about. And I think that something just kind of clicked with me and it was almost a little bit of like just feeling left out, you know what I mean? Because dad was, you know, so motorsports with the boys all the time. And so I finally just one day when I was probably going through growing pains as a teenager and I was like, dad, why don't you do more stuff with me? You know what I mean? It's because I'm his girl and it's hard for him to kind of find things that are in common once you get to like that teenage age, you know what I mean? So I was like, dad, I want to do more stuff with you guys. You never asked me if I want to drive the mud trucks or if I want to do the monster trucks or anything. And he's like, well, babe, I thought you were going to college. And I was like, well, I might not, you know, I might not, dad. So he was like, well, we can go out there and you can get in the mud truck and try it. And so I actually got in Weston's mud truck, and it was the old son of a digger truck. It's been in our family forever. And I went out there, tested in the field, and it's the very first time that I actually had like some significant horsepower under my right foot ever in my life. Growing up with Dennis Anderson, that was the very first time. And I loved it. I did great. I felt like I kind of felt natural to me to go out there in the field and do it. And so from right there is kind of when I decided, like, I can do this. Like, if Adam and Ryan can do this, I can do this. So I got an opportunity, and I didn't know that I was going to be driving Gravedigger, like, right out the gate. I kind of thought that it was going to be a little more low-key, kind of like Ryan and Adam did, where they drove other trucks before they actually got onto the Digger team. But next thing you know, I was driving Gravedigger and never looked back.
Was there any pushback from anybody in the family when you said you wanted to drive? You know, anybody expect you, you know, to go to college and you know, do a different career, anything at all? Or was everybody just, okay, great, let's do it?
I think that maybe my mom. She always wanted me to kind of like go off to college. She wanted me to go like be a veterinarian, go do something, not be on the road, kind of like how my dad did and, you know, live that lifestyle. But I don't know. I was just kind of remained pretty hard headed about it and pretty determined that, you know, I was going to be in the Anderson family. Even though I'm in the Anderson family, I was going to be in the Anderson family. So that's when I just was like, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm doing it. I'm going out on the road. And she loves it. And she supports us, you know, no matter what we do. But not really any pushback. My dad was stoked. My dad couldn't believe it. He was floored. He's like, I can't believe that you even want to drive. I thought that you were going to, like, work in Feld Studios or, you know, be way more intelligent than us. Which, you know, I still could. You know what I mean? I still could.
Well, Weston, did when you found out that your sister was going to be driving your truck, was there any sort of pushback from you that, no, this is mine and she's a girl and I don't want her driving this thing?
Absolutely. I was mad. I was back there in the barn pouting about it, strictly because I didn't want her to go out there and wreck the truck because she was a girl and I didn't even monster truck. Girl drivers weren't really a thing as big as it is now back then. And even in all the other racing industries, there's not that many females in it. And then she went out there and did what she did in the truck. And I was like, oh, God, I better quit. Dad's going to build her a mud truck. Now she's going to come out here and kick my butt. So, yeah, there was a little bit of pushback, but after I saw her drive, I loved it. Wanted her to be in one the next day.
Well, that was instantaneous. You just drove that good from day one?
I don't know what it is, Scott. I don't know if it's just like something in the genetics or something in the DNA. I don't know. I'm not going to get too far into it, but I don't know. It was just maybe just growing up, like watching the trucks, listening to the sound, listening to the throttle rhythm, listening to our dad, the RPMs, the horsepower, everything, just being exposed to it from a young age. It just kind of clicked with me when I got in. And like I said, I was young. I think when I drove Weston's mud truck, I was 17,
yeah, 16, maybe 17.
16, 17. And that was the first time that I had ever driven anything with that much horsepower. And I just understood everything that Dad was saying to me, you know, right before I got in the truck, everything that Ryan was saying to me, it all made sense to me. And I just applied it. And I don't know where it comes from. Just Anderson magic.
Must be something in the water down there at Digger's Dungeon. Or the sweet tea that we've heard about, right?
Yeah. It's the Digger's Diner sweet tea. Yeah, that's
Digger's
the deal.
Diner, that's it, yeah. Now, Wes, you said you didn't want her to wreck your truck, but, you know, life has a funny way of coming full circle because Ryan had you drive Son of a Digger earlier, and he said you absolutely destroyed his truck. So, you know, you don't want her to wreck your truck, but it's okay for you to go and wreck your brother's truck.
Yeah, it was a little bit unintentional. So, it looked cool, though. Yeah. That's what everybody told me afterwards. It looked cool. It was the wreck of the night. I'll take it. It was a lot of pressure, though, being in Son of a Digger in front of one of my first stadiums outside of World Finals, actually my first stadium outside of World Finals, and just hearing everybody cheer in the back. I don't know if anybody saw, but the truck wouldn't start whenever I was about to go out for freestyle, so I was freaking out. I was talking to Sebastian on the intercoms. I was like, Sebastian, we have to get this truck out there. Like, I don't care about the rest of the show. I just wanted to go freestyle Ryan's truck, and we finally got the truck fired up, and I said, I'm not shutting this thing off. Y'all throw me out there on the floor, and I lasted all of 45, 50 seconds, but it was worth it.
Well, Ryan says nobody likes driving his truck because of the way he has it set up. How did you feel about driving it?
It was different. It's kind of hard to compare because I'm in arenas all year, so it wouldn't be good for an arena, I'll tell you that much. The wide housings, the big accumulators on the shocks, it's more for big jumps and soaks up that bigger stuff, but I will say whenever I jumped his truck small, it hurt worse. Whenever I jumped it big, it felt like a pillow. But that's because you ever see what Ryan does, he's jumping the truck 50 feet in the air every single time. So he's got the truck set up for that. And it was a different learning curve for sure.
So I feel like with you and Weston here, Kristen, that, you know, Adam and Ryan kind of grew up in a different time where, you know, Dennis was gone quite a bit more than what he was in your childhood. What do you remember about that? Was he there more for you guys than he was for them?
Yeah, I will say that that's fair because at that point, you know, when Adam and Ryan were little, Dad was still traveling on the road in the rig with the trucks week in, week out, wrenching on them and everything. And mine and Weston's era had kind of happened when Dad was more flying in and racing and doing that. So he was definitely more present in our childhood, probably more than Adam and Ryan's. And I think it has a lot to do with, like, you know, just mine and Weston's success and being able to kind of catch up to Adam and Ryan in a little bit in ways.
At what point, Weston, did your dad take you into the truck and start kind of showing you around and setting you up for this?
A monster truck?
Yeah.
Ever since I was little, I mean, there's pictures of me in diapers sitting in Gravedigger. I can't remember what number Gravedigger it was, but in the shop, I was always around, and Kristen was. I love seeing the old video of her playing with the monster truck toy, and she's doing the sound effects, jumping angle iron in the shop. But yeah, it was ever since I was little, before I could even remember. And 11 years old was really the turning point. That's when we built the first Bog Hog, which was the Son of a Digger truck, which actually a lot of people don't know was the Gravedigger number 6, which is Dad's street truck. It was a hot rod that he drove around. Anyways, we built it into the mud truck, and that was kind of like the turning point. I was getting more horsepower under me, and then we kind of went on from there.
What's the difference between driving a mud truck and a monster truck? You know, we see the videos of you in Bog Hog and the things you do there at the Muddy Motorsports Park, and then we see that what you do on the track in a monster truck. But I know there was some sort of learning curve there, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, mega trucks, they're not as wide. They don't have the big tires to soak up the landings. And also, a monster truck, it'll mess you over sometimes with those big tires. You'll land, and it's like a airbag going off. You'll bounce and flip right over. So it was a different learning curve, you know. I really didn't know how to take it at first. I thought that I was just going to be a terrible monster truck driver the first time I tested in one. And even the first 3 weekends of my tour, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I should have stuck with the mud trucks. I should have never gotten in a monster truck. And Then we actually got a truck that was kind of set up for arenas, and we took off from there.
And what was that? So when you started, because you and I talked about that on Weekly Up, that you didn't have the truck that you won the championship in. So what happened there? Why was there a change?
So Hampton, Virginia is the third weekend.
Tell them. Tell them what happened.
The rear steer stuck on the truck, and I was trying to make do with what I could. It was like the last 20 seconds of freestyle. I said, you know what? It's kind of a hometown show, 45 minutes away from the shop. I wanted to go big for everybody, so I jumped the pod, not realizing that the back of the truck was not even lined up for the jump. And a lot of people say, oh, you tried to do a corkscrew. That's so cool. I said, I didn't try to do nothing. It did half of a corkscrew and then ripped the whole back of the chassis off. So it was like 70 hours of work we would have had to put into the truck to fix it for the next weekend. And then we got 37 and went on from there.
Did you get a phone call about that at all?
I did a little bit, but it wasn't bad.
So, Kristen, you know, you said you didn't think you'd be driving Gravedigger when you first started. I'm sure that kind of put a little more pressure on you to not get that maybe year or two with Monster Mutt, Taz, whatever you want to call it. How do you think that helped your career, that you were literally put in Gravedigger from day one and had to earn your spot?
I think that it definitely put a lot of eyes on me because, you know, Gravedigger is arguably one of the most iconic monster trucks in the world. You know, it has a lot of fans. When it pulls out onto the track, everybody knows it. Everybody's seen it. Their kids have the toys. So I think it helped me, gave me a leg up in the competition, just having my face out there, having my name out there, my social media presence. But it also hurt me a lot. Definitely hurt me because I didn't have that year or two of just kind of laying low and learning the ropes and making mistakes and, you know, learning from them and watching other drivers, other Gravedigger drivers do really great. I was the Gravedigger driver. And a lot of people expected really, really great things from me my first year. I felt like they didn't. I expected great things from myself. It put a ton of pressure on me. I'm the first, you know, female driver of Gravedigger. I'm the only female Anderson, so I feel like the bar was set really, really high. But I also feel like what you were saying is it kind of helped mold and build my character, you know, because I never had been exposed to like a large social media following or people in the public having that much access to me and their criticism and their thoughts and their encouragement or anything. And so to go out there and, you know, just do my thing and have people kind of criticize it, it really toughened me up. It thickened my skin. I think that I was really soft my first couple years of Monster Jam, and now I'm ruthless.
Yes. Well, sometimes it's tough to read the comments, you know. We are curious about what people are saying, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. You take the good with the bad. But I think now at this point, you know, you're Guinness World Record holder. You are the first female series champion in Monster Jam. You have nothing else to prove to anybody. Do you feel that way as well?
Yeah, I don't feel like I have anything left to prove. I think that I've kind of proven, like I was saying in my, you know, championship speech, is like I can be Kristen Anderson and drive the way I drive and still be a champion. I can still be great. I can still be good. I don't have to be like Adam and Ryan and my dad or Weston or anything. I have my own driving style. And I had something else that I was getting ready to say that was pretty witty. But yeah, I mean, I think that
show, by the way. If you remember, just say it. We'll just cut it
right
in.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I was going to say, is I've noticed that the older I've gotten and the farther I've gotten in my Monster Jam career is like, I don't really like to do or entertain things that don't serve me. You know what I mean? Like serve me or my energy, anything like that. So I kind of stopped reading everybody's comments on the Monster Jam page because there's a lot of keyboard warriors out there. There's a lot of people that feel like they can do our job. And in reality, I know, you know, they're on the video games, they're doing the simulators, they come out, they fly out to every show, and, you know, we appreciate their support. But this job is not for everybody. There's really not. We've seen a lot of people come and go in this sport. It's tough. It's tough on your mind. It's tough on your body. It's just everything about it is not for the weak. And so anybody that's got anything to kind of say about me or my driving or anything like that, it's like, I'd like to see you do
it. Yeah, come get in the truck.
Yeah, come on, come get in the truck. I'd like to see you do it.
It's an open invitation for anybody out there watching or listening. Come on, get in the truck and show us what you could do.
Yeah, show me what you want to see. Show me how you would have done it better.
Exactly. So, Wes, so Kristen now, you know, finding her own driving style, still, you know, that interview that you did was amazing when you won the series champion. We said you don't have to be Dennis Anderson, Ryan Anderson, Adam Anderson. You could still be Kristen Anderson and be Gravedigger. And that was incredible. So what do you feel your style is? in the truck, because now she's defining hers. We've seen Ryan's style, we've seen Adam's style. You know, we're still learning about you and your after your first year. So what is your style?
You know, I like to say it's a combination of everybody. So I grew up watching everybody, watching Dad drive, heard his throttle rhythm. I got that. It's what a lot of people read in the comments, the good comments. They'll say, you know, that's the closest we'll get to Dennis in a monster truck again, is because listen to that throttle rhythm. And still working on it a little bit. I'm not quite as good as he is. I don't think my ankle can move as fast as his, even at 62. But yeah, it's just a combination of everybody, because I grew up watching them race and watching them do crazy stuff. So that's what I took from it.
We have a lot of listeners that don't understand, you know, throttle rhythm and the control. So can you explain how you emulate, you know, throttle rhythm, how you define what that's going to be for you?
It's hard to explain. It's kind of like in the moment. So whenever Dad, he was always running around in the truck, he said, loud is what makes it. If you can go around, cruise around in the corners, not make the truck loud and do a 70-foot jump, but it won't look as cool as if you were wrapping the throttle through the air or drifting in the corner at 8,800 RPMs, hearing that big block sing back there. So it's kind of like a thing that kind of naturally comes to you, and it's, you can hear it in your run too. You watch even Ryan, he has that throttle rhythm, and Adam and Kristen, you can hear whenever they're out there. I could be sitting in the back and I could say, oh, Adam's running right now, he's got the throttle rhythm.
Kristen, you mentioned, you know, before in your conversation about toys and, you know, monster truck toys. Now you have your own. Mm-hmm. Blonde to the Bone, Spin Master debuted a Blonde to the Bone version of Gravedigger, which is, it's your identity. What were your thoughts when you first saw that?
I was very excited to see it. It's been months in the process of kind of working on it, in which I think that it was kind of more, I would say maybe 60-40 or 50-50 when it came to Creative Services and Monster Jam having their own say in it and then giving me the opportunity to kind of put my input here and there. And I was super excited when I actually got a box and seen the toy in person. I thought that it looked so good. I seen the render. You know, we added elements, took elements away, like this and that. But I thought that it was pretty incredible. And it's just super surreal to have a toy that's, for me, it's a Kristen Anderson toy. It's a one-off. There's nothing else like it. And I don't think that any other driver has their own toy just yet. So it was kind of cool that I got to be one of the first ones. And I think it was pretty special. I've had a lot of mixed reviews about it, but it is what it is.
She's so excited about it. She has four of them sitting in her hotel room.
Yeah, just in case anybody wants one.
What kind of mixed reviews are you getting?
I think that some people said that it was a little underwhelming. And I understand. I get that, you know, because the elements of it is still green and it's still the purple and it's still this and still that. But I think that everybody wanted to see the pink digger. They wanted it to be the pink Gravedigger. And I have a couple notes for that, because I wanted to show them something they haven't seen yet, something that hasn't been done yet. And the pink digger has been edited back and forth for nearly 6 or 7 years on social media now. I've seen it as RC cars. I've seen it, you know, people have edited it in photos. People have their 24-volt ride-alongs wrapped in it. I've seen it every which way. And so I wanted to do it my own way and it kind of be a representation of who I am. I feel like my style is, I don't mind pink. I think that there's a time and a place for pink, and it's great. I love it. It's a great color. But I would say that my style is a little more grungy, little more this, little more that. So
I think pink would have been a little too easy, I guess, to go that route. As, you know, when it's, you know, as a female driver going that pink route, it's almost like setting up a stereotype there that female drivers have to have this pink to it.
Yes.
If you have this cool purple kind of aspect to that truck that makes it unique. And I think it's great. There's always going to be critics out there, but I do, when I saw it, I thought it was perfect. I think pink would have been way too over the top, over the edge, and way too easy.
That's what I'm saying. And I love that you said that, because I even said it in my post that I made on social media that feminine doesn't have to be pink. It's very stereotypical that if it's a girl, then, oh, she's going to want pink. We're going to do pink. We're going to give her this because it's pink. And it's like, I barely own any pink articles of clothing in my wardrobe. You know what I mean? Like I thought that if you really look at like the details and the designs in it, it's got, you know, dark purple roses and the pink eye patch and this and that. And it's got just enough feminine elements to be feminine, but tough.
Weston, has it gone through her head at all that she has her own toy truck now?
Yeah, she won't give me one.
You got four in your room and you won't give him one?
She actually, I had to get the forklift from the shop and bring it home to unload the whole pallet for her.
Is it in stores yet?
It is. It's available on the Monster Jam Superstore, and we have a limited supply at Dicker's Dungeon, too.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Weston, your series championship. You know, your confidence after you won that, when I had you on the weekly update, I had never seen anything like that, and I applauded you for that, because you literally, I asked him, I don't know if you watched that episode, but I asked him if he thought, you know, that he was having one of the greatest rookie seasons in Monster Jam history. He said, no, I'm having the greatest rookie season in Monster Jam history. And, you know, I thought that was one of the greatest comments I'd ever heard out of anybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being that you said that and you did and you won Rookie of the Year, and fans, you know, have agreed with you, and I've agreed with you as well. Where do you go from here? You know, you win Rookie of the Year, you have that season. What happens next?
The only thing we can do next is win in the World Finals. That would have to be it. Getting the big championship, the one that everybody goes for. I'm not going to say I'm going to get it in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. It may take me 12 years to get there. I mean, look at Dad. He drove Gravedigger for 36 years, and he got four of them. It's a tough thing to get, so I'm going to have to put that into perspective, and I'm going to have to battle through her, Adam, Ryan, Tom, everybody. It's going to be a challenge, for sure.
He's got what it takes. Adam was crowned a very young world champion. He's the youngest world champion to ever be crowned, right? Crowned at 18 or 19 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And how do you think your world finals went this past year in Orlando?
It was a lack of preparation on my part. I had no experience on a big floor before that. I would say it didn't go too terrible, though. I've seen worst in the past, and I didn't think it went too terribly. I definitely wish I could have a button and go back in time and not hit the backflip ramp 45 seconds into my freestyle run. But, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, it's kind of the rookie luck. Maybe next year. That's all I could say. Maybe next year I can actually fulfill my run.
And Kristen, you had a chance to come to World Finals as a series champion, and you had an experience on the stadium track. So how did that help you in Orlando this past year?
Well, man, I feel like it's the same old story for me, Scott. Like the last 4 or 5 years at the World Finals, whether I was competing in the Double Down Showdown or actually being a competitor this year, is every time I get to the World Finals, I have some kind of truck issue, some kind of bad luck.
Yeah, she actually had a 350 small block shot in the truck for World Finals.
Not running on all cylinders at the World Finals was a bummer, man, because to fight all year long, and it was tough. You know, I didn't really run away with that tour. Tony Oakes stayed on my heels and breathing down my neck the entire time. I had to be, you know, nothing less but perfect every time I came out on the track. And there was a couple weekends that I had to fight Tony to get that title back, and then to fight so hard and get to the World Finals, and then just heartbreak and disappointment. And it was embarrassing, like, to come out there for the high jump, and I'm supposed to be the world record high jump holder, and I was last in that competition because my truck wasn't running right. And so I hope that there is a World Finals in the near future that I'm going to show up finally with 100% Gravedigger, not just for myself, but for the people that come out to see me.
When you competed on the Stadium Championship Series, you said you were getting advice from Ryan, you were getting advice from Adam, and you had a lot of people kind of talking to you. So now that we're past that, and you're back in arenas, you won your series championship, what is your relationship like as far as from a competitive nature with your brothers, your older brothers? Are they still calling you, giving you advice? You still going to them at all?
No, I think that they've kind of loosened the reins up and let me do my own thing. Even Dad, too. Like, this year, I didn't really get any advice or any pointers or anything from anybody. I did it on my own all year long. I kept up with my brothers a little bit, but we were busy kind of doing our own thing. And same thing with, like, coming into the stadiums now. I mean, I feel like I have heard all the advice I could possibly hear when it comes to stadium driving. So hopefully if I get to the World Finals or have another opportunity to compete in a stadium again pretty soon, then I can just do it on my own like I do in the arenas now.
There you go. Now, Weston, has that kind of come to you? Has everybody given you the advice now and in your ear, or are you just given a bit more of a pass because of your background?
I hate to say it, but I do terrible with advice. I like watching a video so I could actually see what they're talking about. I'm a visual learner. I'll take every advice that anybody can give me, though. I'm not going to turn it down, but it may go in one ear, out the other, and then I see a video of the same thing they're telling me the next week. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what they're talking about right there. And that's honestly what helped me a lot with two-wheel skills this year. I wasn't too great the first couple weekends, and then I looked at Ryan's videos, Tyler's videos, even Armando Castro, he was on my tour. I watched his videos, and I was like, oh, man, all right, this is what I'm doing wrong. And I kind of put the puzzle pieces together and went from there.
I ran into you at the beginning of the year before the series started. You were here doing your media training, and obviously you had to put that to good use because you kept winning and you kept having a talk. So how do you think that overall developed for you throughout the year?
It was a learning curve at the beginning. I'm not much of a talker, and I'm not really high energetic either. I kind of had to bring it out of me, and it came out, especially once I got in the lead. I was like, oh, man, I was so pumped up, even just walking to the arenas before the shows are even starting, and my adrenaline's pumping, my hands are starting to shake, and signing autographs, I'm out there trembling like a dog.
Yeah, try working with Colt Stevens for a couple of years and see how high energy you have to become. <You know? laughs> Let's talk about life at home for you guys. So, I talked to Ryan a little bit earlier on a previous episode about what life was like growing up at the Dungeon. What has it been like for the two of you growing up, around your dad being there on that huge property where all the cool stuff happens? Because for me, still looking at it as a kid, it's just magic for me. I love seeing, I've never actually been, I need to go, but I watch a lot of videos to show kind of behind the scenes footage of it. And what's life like there for you when you're not on the road?
Well, I think that Ryan and Adam have definitely paid their dues, and they've worked very hard for Dennis Anderson. But there is no Andersons that have worked harder for Dennis Anderson than these two Andersons right here. Okay? We have been on his payroll from a very young age. That's another thing that has to do with it, is that property has developed and grown so much in the years that it's been there. And when Ryan and Adam were young, there wasn't that many things there. Dad had the ride truck, and he kind of had the Dungeon, and that was it, and the shops. And that's where Ryan and Adam worked. Now Dad's got the diner. Adam has a ride truck. We have the market. We have the animals. We have the King Sling ride truck. We have Digger's Dungeon. We have all the shops in the back. We have the Muddy Motorsports Park. And I am trained and qualified to work at every single business there. I could run them single-handedly now. So we definitely, Dad got his use out of us. We worked a lot, but I think it was pretty important for us just kind of like developing those, work ethic, and but also being people pleasers as well. I was a waitress for a really long time, and I think that it kind of helped me talk to strangers at pit party, make small talk, make conversation, stuff like that. So I think it was good for us, kind of preparing us for the real world and going out there and kind of getting to meet the fans and the Gravedigger fans on a different level. Now we're ringing them out, selling them t-shirts. I'm refilling their coffee, bringing them pancakes. Now they're waiting in line to get my autograph.
So does your dad still put you to work when you go home?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I just, I'm 25 years old, and I haven't worked at the diner in a couple years now, and I told, like, full time in a few years, and I told Dad, I was like, hey, I have the month of October off for a little while. I don't have any events. I don't have any shows or anything going on. If you need help anywhere, let me know. And he was like, oh, perfect. Next day,
83 hours
a
week.
On the schedule. Like, okay, well, hang on. I put the invitation out there just in case, like, somebody, like, got sick, you know, something like that. I didn't expect to be on the schedule, but there I was.
There you are. What about you? Were you on the schedule, too?
Oh, yeah.
Weston's been on the schedule since he was five years old.
I'm never going to get off the schedule. No, like Kristen was saying, it kind of builds you as a person. So while she was up there working in the diner, and that's where I would go to eat, so she would hopefully not spit in my food.
Never.
But she was serving me, and then I would go back in the shops, and we were building trucks, fixing the mud trucks, and it puts into perspective at that young of an age how much it actually takes. And I would thank him for that, because if it wasn't for that, a lot of people don't know what the crew guys go through. They're out there till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes they don't have dinner, and it puts into perspective and makes you respect them and respect everybody a whole lot more once you've been in their shoes and you've lived it. It's not a dream come true.
And your dad's very hands-on with everything that goes on?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's around. He's cruising around in his black Denali, his Duramax.
He's gotten to the stage now, he's 62 years old, that he deserves to just sit there and point and say, do this, do that. He's worked his butt off since he was younger than us. He was 5 years old, walking behind a mule on his old farm with his dad working. And yeah, he's kind of to the stage now where he's the overseer, right, more or less.
Yeah, he's the boss man. Yeah, when you see the black Duramax roll through the parking lot, everybody, here he comes.
Full attention day.
Here he comes.
Weston, now that you're, you know, with Monster Jam, do you have any plans to continue to run, you know, at the Muddy Motorsports Park with Bog Hog? Are you able to even do that?
Or, yeah, absolutely. So that was one thing. Me and Monster Jam kind of worked out a deal to where I can still run the mud trucks because that's initially where I came from. And the whole crowd from Kildova Hills, Curry Tuck, I don't want to leave them. That's who made me who I am today, and I don't plan on leaving them for a long time. I'm going to keep running those trucks in the ground and running out there with my dad. That's one of the last opportunities I will ever have to run with him is whenever we go on the road. It doesn't matter where it is, with those mud trucks.
And Chris, at 25, you've done more than a lot of drivers will ever accomplish in this sport. You know, being a world record holder, being a series champion, competing all over the world. You have aspirations that go beyond Monster Jam, or is this something that you're taking one day at a time, or something you see yourself doing for a long time?
I think that as I'm kind of coming into, you know, my mid-20s, I'm not taking it. When I was, you know, first started in my early 20s, it was one day at a time, one weekend at a time, one show at a time. Now I'm, you know, I have big aspirations, I would say. I haven't quite decided if, you know, if after I decide I'm done driving the trucks that I'm going to stay home and do something at home or just go in a completely different direction, or if I want to continue working for Monster Jam doing something because I feel like I can be useful in other areas too. I mean, we all know that I'm artistic. I can draw. I can do things like that. I'd love to work in creative services doing anything, but I'm starting to think a little bit more about it. But right now, I think I'm just kind of basking in my glory at the moment.
Nothing wrong with doing that. Nothing at all. Weston, for you, let's talk about if we were to take your dad in his prime and drop him into one of your arena shows.
Oh, Lord, I see where this is going.
Squaring off against you. Do you think at this point you could give him a run for his money? And I'm not talking about 62-year-old Dennis. I'm talking about prime Dennis Anderson. You know, how do you think that would go?
It honestly, it all depends on the trucks, the settings, everything. Are we talking old arena Monster Jam, new arena Monster Jam?
No, we're talking now. So we'll keep the technology where it's at.
Okay,
we just take prime Dennis and put him in a Gravedigger.
It's hard to say. It's a loaded question. I hate you for asking me that.
That's my job.
I don't know. I know he would probably whoop my butt in racing. Donut contest. We both do right-hand donuts, so that would be pretty even there. Two wheel skills, I would blow him out of the water. I hate to say it, but Dad has never felt a moonwalk, felt intentional bicycle, or anything like that. So I might have him there, and then freestyle, it's whoever can make the truck last longer. Honestly, we drive the trucks into the ground, so whoever could fulfill the clock and drive crazy would probably take that. So we would probably be pretty even.
Dad says that me and Weston kind of got the toughest end of the stick here when it came to when we started driving, because we started in the era of Monster Jam that two wheel skills was getting out of control.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
If
like
you
we're
don't,
just
if you don't balance the truck on the nose or do a wheelie and wave to the crowd with your front tires, you're not winning.
Yeah, it wasn't about going through the bracket and racing, you know, throwing down a freestyle. Now we have so many elements that Dad says, hey, I don't envy y'all at all. I don't want to be out there doing moonwalks. I don't want to be out there doing that. I retired at the perfect time.
It's a game of top that, you know, at this point. I've noticed it in arenas with the format where you have four competitions. There's a little more, a little more error room there. If you do falter, you have three competitions to make up for it. In stadiums, it's always a wild card. And I feel like 90% of the time these days, whoever wins the skills competition is walking away with the event championship, because you can get a driver that gets 12 points in racing, 11 in freestyle, but finishes next to last in skills, and that's it.
It's
mm-hmm. They're done.
It's
you know?
Been a blessing for me this year having Cody and Armando on my tour. They would whoop my butt in racing every single weekend unless it was a slick track. If it was a slick track, I'd give them a run for their money. But, you know, that honestly, it was making me feel bad, made me feel slow. And then I would watch the videos and I'm like, oh my God, I'm racing some of the fastest people in the sport here. So I don't feel as bad if I lose to them. And it was the rest of the show where I knew I had to pick it up. And that was whenever I would drive harder. Like Allentown whenever I did the crazy moon flip thing. I didn't get the overall, but I lost first round of racing there. I think it was to Armando, and he went out for freestyle, threw down a run. He had like a 9.3 that I had to top, and radioed to my crew chief. I said, Brad, we're taking him down right now. I'm not going to let this happen. He's not going to beat me twice in the same show. So that's when we went out there and did that, and it makes you drive harder.
Are you sticking with that moon flip name? Is that where you've landed on that?
Yeah, I started out as a kick flip or a half shove it. I don't even know. A bunch of fans are calling it stuff, but probably the moon flip, yeah.
You like that name?
Moon flip?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, I would say.
Whenever I got home from that, though, yeah. Dad said, you have to do it again before you can name it. So I'm going off of what everybody else named it. No, that's not my official.
Yeah. Until Weston can apply the sauce and do it again.
Well, Kristen, you have quite the move that you've made throughout. And now that we do the Arena Series in 25, I have a chance to call a lot of your shows on digital media, and every time you do it, I say it's vintage Kristen Anderson, you know, and it's when you just stick that truck back on the wheelie bar and just keep it there. How do you do that? Because that takes an incredible amount of control just to keep that 12,000 pound truck there on the back of it. So what goes into that?
I mean, it seems like whenever you're looking at it from a perspective that, or maybe it's just my personal opinion, but sometimes it seems like it's an easier trick to do than the moonwalk. And it can be, because the moonwalk is tough. That trick is for mental skill. The tombstone wheelie is what they call it, or the reverse popper, it's about finesse and it's about timing it just right, making sure you're not giving it too much sauce, because as people know, I have given it too much sauce quite a few times. That's a learning curve. But just being able to come back, I listen to the RPMs, I feel the truck, and when I feel like it's in the perfect spot, I kind of like let off the brake a little bit. I'll tap the brake, get the truck to set up, let off the brake, and then just sit there and kind of hold it in balance. And it's a little bit of holding the brake, holding not enough brake, and then putting it down in gear and riding it up the pad. So there's a lot of competitors that have actually surprisingly told me that they're intimidated to try that trick because you're going in reverse. It's not like the moonwalk where you can see, you know, the dirt, you can see out of your front windshield or anything. I'm doing this trick completely blind every time I do it. I have no idea. It's all off feeling. I could probably do it with my eyes closed now, honestly, because I just listen, feel the truck, hear the RPMs, and that's how I do it.
It's incredible. Again, it's vintage Kristen Anderson. That's all I say. Anytime you do it, it's sticking, so we're going to go with it. Let's talk about your tours for next year. Weston, you go back to the East Series, defend your championship. You get Lindsey Reed, Armando Castro, Bernard Light, Dalton Widener, Hunter Souza, Chad Tingler, and Frank Krimmel coming back into Monster Jam. So talk a little bit about that lineup and what your expectations are as you try to defend your East Series championship.
You know, I'm excited about it because a lot of the faces, they're familiar faces. I've ran with them before. Chad, Armando, Dalton Widener even, too. And Frank Krimmel, I ran with him too, but it's going to be fun. And going back through some of the same venues is going to be a blast, because the people that were there last year, they can come this year and see not only me, how much I've progressed, but the whole tour itself, how much we've progressed in skills and donuts and racing and freestyle.
Speaking of freestyle, you get Lindsey Reed, who is no slouch in freestyle. She's a world champion. So how do you think you're going to handle Lindsey, who's done stadiums and arenas as well?
It's going to be tough, but she has sat out of a truck for a while. She's going to have to get back in the groove, and I hope I can fend her off for as long as I can until she gets that groove back.
All right, Kristen, you move on to the West Series. You're bringing Elvis Linez over with you. You get Tristan England, David Olford, Bailey Shea, Mark Hall, and Kurt Kramer. So obviously, you know, you had to hold off Elvis, you know, all season, and you've been on tour with him. You've done a lot of shows with Tristan, but you get him on a series. David Olford, no slouch, and Bailey Shea coming back to Monster Jam, and the Hall brothers, you know, Mark Hall, Kurt Kramer. So it's a stack lineup for you too.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty tough coming into 2023. I would say that, you know, obviously going up against Tristan England, I would consider Tristan has made it. He's one of the big dogs now. There's drivers that have the sauce and don't have the sauce, and Tristan England's got the sauce. So he's going to be pretty tough, I would say. And another person that's honestly coming into their own is Elvis Linez.
Yeah.
He is. He's coming into his own right now. We just got back from a weekend in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and it was 5 events, and he won 4 of them. And I was kind of like, where is this Elvis coming from? Yeah. You know, like, I think that's going to have to stop. I feel like if he has a good truck and he has a good piece of machinery underneath of him, he can do it. He's fully capable of doing it. He's entertaining. He's an aggressive driver. He's not afraid to push the envelope. So he's going to be one to look out for if that truck can hold together. David Olfert.
Too tall, man.
Came out swinging.
Yeah.
I hated whenever he would come on my tour.
Really? Oh, man, he is tough, man.
We would do the first round draw for racing, and I'd be like, oh, my God, thank God it's not Cody. And then I'd look at it, and it's David, and I was like,
He's got something.
David's got it. He's going to be a tough competition. Bailey Shea, she's kind of got to get out there and stretch her legs out, too, but it's good to have another female competitor out there. But one thing that I think that they don't have on me is I'm the queen of consistency.
Yes, you are.
And that is what I think helped me out in my 2022 season, and I'm going to try and apply that sauce in 2023.
Well, and you're a defending champion, and heavy is the head that wears the crown. So everybody's going to have eyes on you and a bullseye on your back. You're going to be able to handle that pressure?
I think I can. I think I can do it. I've been able to handle the pressure and carry the weight of being an Anderson, being Gravedigger, being Kristen, being this, being that. I can do this. I can definitely do this. I'm not going to let it get to me. I have a championship. Tristan's got multiple championships. Elvis is gunning for his. Everybody's gunning for theirs. So I think I can do it. I think I'm going to be able to get in their heads because I kind of came out of left field this year and everyone was like, whoa, Kristen won. You know, like Kristen won the championship. So I think I'm going to get over there, be a cool cat, cool as a cucumber, and I'm just going to let myself get under their skin without trying, because that's what I did to the boys this year. I just lived in their head rent-free.
And it paid off in a big way. You can see Weston Anderson in 2023 competing on Arena Championship Series East. You can see Kristen Anderson competing on Arena Championship Series West. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for hanging out. This was fun.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
A lot better than trying to find a backdrop for the weekly update.
I'm glad I could help you out with that. We got more coming this week from the Driver Summit. Stay tuned. You can download this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And until next time, I'll see you right here on Inside Monster Jam.